I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Rose Festival Week is just around the corner. Another chance to celebrate one of nature's most beautiful flowers. Today, I'll be joined by Sarah Squire from Squire's Garden Centres to talk about the Rose Society UK and her family business. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast. What a week! You know, you may think that life for a gardening journalist is pretty easy. Just go to lovely places, see beautiful things, chat to nice people, take pictures and then come home and write a few words about it. I mean, what a wonderful job I've had all those years. But let me just outline a little bit the last few days. It's been the BBC Gardeners World Live exhibition at the NEC. It started with me last Sunday when I got to the site at midnight and was up the next morning at about 5 or 6 to take delivery of plants. And we had lorry load after lorry load, over 5,500 plants all ready to be staged. And we worked pretty well flat out doing that. And when the show opened on Thursday, I was there for an hour or two, and then I flew to Holland. It's the pack trials, what we call the summer trials in Holland, and it's where, well, not just the European, the international plant and seed trade launch their new varieties. I need to spend some time there, in a perfect world, 2 or 3 days. But on this occasion, I could just fly out on the Thursday lunchtime, spend 36 hours there, and then fly back on the Friday night so that I could get up nice and early and go to Birmingham to be there for the Saturday and Sunday, when, of course, there are big crowds coming in to see us and quite a lot of questions to answer. But when the bell rings at 4:30 on the Sunday, then we sell off some of the plants and the rest all have to be taken down. As I say, over 5,000 of them, and we had two enormous lorries. One was there on Sunday night, so we worked through till 11 o'clock, loading that up and send him on his way. And then the next morning at 7:30, we have another big lorry arrive. And it's amazing what you can get onto a lorry using those mobile Dutch trolleys. And once we had all the plants down from the five pyramids and on the trolleys and on the lorries, they all went to the RHS Gardens at Hyde Hall in Essex, where we offloaded them as quick as we can, and now we have the job of planting them all in an area called Floral Fantasia. I can tell you, all those flowering plants looked pretty good up on the pyramids, but when you get them spaced out over an acre of garden, they looked fantastic. But of course, we've got to get the blooming things in the ground. And so that's the task for this week. Just ahead of this broadcast, I was able to spend half an hour or so at Hyde Hall, just see what the soil was like. Pretty heavy, sticky soil, so we've got to be careful. Make sure all the pots are nicely damp before they go in. But give us 10 or 14 days, and I think it's going to be spectacular. My guest today is Sarah Squire, the third generation of the Squire's Garden Centre dynasty in Surrey. Well, we'll say Surrey, Middlesex and West Sussex now, Sarah, because the family empire is spreading, isn't it?
Well, we now have 15 garden centres, but we're still in a pretty close geographical area, really, around the west of London, sort of, as you say, Middlesex, Surrey and a little bit into West Sussex.
And that's quite an advantage, don't you think, with garden centre chains, if the management can actually travel out and visit quite a number within one day, you sort of keep control.
It's very deliberate on our part because we are still a family business and we want to make sure that both my father and I and other family members can get round the centres, you know, and get to know as many of our teams as possible. So it's a really conscious decision. We push out a little bit at the edges if the right opportunities arise, but no, we're very wedded to this area and we like to know our teams and as many of our customers as we can.
Can we take you back to the beginning? Because I, of course, knew your grandfather very
yes.
well, DJ, what a character he was, and started the business really at an impossible time, at the slump in the 30s, I believe.
That's right. I mean, he was a head gardener. He was working at the police orphanage in Twickenham. And they closed the orphanage. I guess there had been a number of orphans as a result of the First World War. And I suppose by the mid-30s, they're growing up. And he was made redundant. He couldn't find an alternative job. So he literally took his wheelbarrow and started to do people's gardens and landscape projects. And gradually he became more successful and he rented and then was able to buy a small nursery. And so the business expanded from there, really. And during the Second World War, we built a number of air raid shelters around Anderson Shelters in the sort of Twickenham area. And Kempton Park was a large prisoner of war camp. And so we were able to have first the Italian and then German prisoners of war working on the nurseries as well, all producing food, obviously, during that time.
I hadn't thought of the opportunity of constructing Anderson Shelters, because I mean they were just dug as a hole in the garden with corrugated iron, weren't they?
Pretty much. I think there are still some left under some of the gardens in Twickenham that we may have put in.
And then really I got to know your father in the early days of the garden centre startups, and he built that really quite eye-catching conservatory sales greenhouse at Twickenham.
He did indeed, yes. He opened our first proper garden centre in 1964 here at Twickenham. And to be fair to Grandpa, who was always very much the nurseryman and landscaper, you know, he let Dad get on with it. He let him do it. And and Dad built this very eye-catching building on the Sixth Crossroads. I have to say it did leak a bit. It was our houseplant
yes.
Area. And like many, I don't know if you've ever known a garden centre, Peter, that hasn't got a single leak in it.
Well, not those that
I'd
came from greenhouse.
I'd love to find one.
Yeah. Where they've come from greenhouse origins, yes, inevitably there was the dreaded leaks. Yeah.
But things have moved on a little bit since then, thank goodness. But it was quite an eye-catching building and it was successful. And then my father was able to open our second centre at Shepperton and things went on from there, really.
And is that where you started to develop rose production then at Shepperton?
Well, Shepperton already had a rose nursery on the site when we took it over. It was called Smith's Roses, run by a lovely gentleman called Eric Smith. And that's really, the centre was on the front of the rose nurseries there. So that's how although having said that, actually we did grow roses here at Twickenham. Hard to believe it now, it's such a busy crossroads here, but we did actually have some rose fields out here in the very early days. But sadly long gone.
But your father has always been interested in roses, hasn't he?
He has, yes.
And you currently host what is the main summer rose show for the Rose Society.
That's right. We've been hosting a rose show at Shepperton now for, gosh, I think it's 40 years.
Is it as long as that?
I think it is, because we were certainly doing it around about the time of the Queen's Silver Jubilee in 1976 or 75. So it's been quite a long time, and it was the Royal National Rose Society, now the Rose Society UK, and so we're very pleased to host that, and also to really combine it this year. We're making it a festival of roses, so all about we're having some rose talks, which are free. We're having floral art, again, all based around the roses, as well as the usual classes and exhibits and so on. So there should be a lot going on for people, either if you're a keen rose grower or if you just want to come and see some beautiful flowers.
Well, I was fortunate enough to visit your show last year. It was a very warm, hot day. And when you walked into that marquee, I mean, the fragrance just hit you.
I can't think of another flower, really, Peter. I mean, you can correct me, but that gives you that heady scent, that powerful, just wonderful, you know, the scent combined with the beauty of roses. It is the national flower, isn't it? And we should celebrate it.
Yeah, and quite rightly. I mean, you know, we launched what we believe is the first Rose Festival Week last year, proved remarkably successful, and are doing the same again starting 22nd of June. And your big summer show will be the next weekend, won't it, Steve?
That's right. It's the following weekend, yes.
The 29th.
Yeah,
have I got that
29th.
Right?
And this is both the Saturday and the Sunday, and the tent opens at about midday on the Saturday as soon as judging's taken place, and then it's open all the hours that we're open until Sunday afternoon.
And when you say you've got talks and demonstrations and things, is that over that weekend or during the week?
It certainly is. It's over the weekend at 11:30 and 2:30, a half-hour talk, totally free. And also we're having some, got a jazz band, and so hopefully it'll be some fun.
It usually is. But can I ask you how things are going on the other centres? I have some connection with a garden centre that was called Secrets that you now own down in Godalming.
That's right.
I worked on the original design of that, but it's a much bigger and more successful set of premises now.
Well, it's a lovely centre down there at Milford, the former Secrets Centre, and it's a real planty centre. You know, you go in there and you get the feeling, oh, it's a proper garden centre. And I think the plant area there, the foundations you laid all those years ago, Peter, are certainly bearing fruit, because it still has, I think it's an area where people are very keen on their gardening, and perhaps some of our more slightly urban garden centres are more instant. The customer at Milford perhaps is prepared to invest a little bit more in time and energy in their garden, and you know, in terms of the sales of hardy nursery stocks and so on, it's very, very good.
You know, it's reassuring that the plant foundation lives on, but then, of course, you know, the Secret family were well into horticulture, all that
Absolutely.
Salad cropping and all those things.
Yeah, and they still have their farm behind it and their lovely farm shop. So yes, that's all still going on as well.
And then you also include what is a very long-standing nursery name, Cheels, don't you? You've got one of the Cheels centres.
That's right, down at Crawley.
Yeah.
Since the year 2000, a smaller site, right on a roundabout. So it's a lovely prominent site. Although I have to say, we've had some roadworks out there for the last 6 months now. So we shall be really pleased. They're due to go next week. So we shall be celebrating when all those cones disappear, I have to say.
Yes, because it can really affect business, can't it, if somebody disrupts a road access?
Yeah, absolutely. It really does. And who can blame people? Why would you want to go and sit in traffic for half an hour if you don't have to?
I love these, you know, the sort of family influence still right the way through all of your centres. Do you still have a pianist playing in the restaurant?
Well, we had at Twickenham here, we had the most wonderful pianist who was actually a First World War veteran, and he lived to well over 100, but he died in the very early, do they call it the noughties, the early 200s?
Yes, yes.
2000s, rather. Yeah. And so he's no longer with us, but at Shepperton we do have a pianist. It's a little more occasional now, not quite the regularity that we had before, but yeah, my father has a love of music, and there always has to be a piano somewhere in the centres.
I think one of the centres actually had a piano in the plant standing area,
yeah,
with it all decorated up with plants.
It did.
I thought that we should actually go and hear your father play the piano in the plant area. It would be quite an event. So will music be appearing on other garden centres, do you think, as well as your jazz band playing?
Certainly, as I said, there's a jazz band this weekend at Shepperton, and then a bit later on we're doing an evening, we're calling it Plants and Prosecco, so that's a little bit later later on, and we're really looking forward to that one, because again we'll have some live music going on, and people can have a lovely wander around the plant areas in the evening with a glass of fizz or a non-alcoholic alternative, of course, and we'll have some music playing then. So that's quite looking forward to that one as well.
And which centre is that? Is that
that will be everywhere, and that is actually it's sooner than I thought. My goodness, the month is rattling past, isn't it? That's actually Thursday the 20th of June, so that's even sooner. So that's at all centres.
Thursday 20th of June?
Yeah, with 20% off all plants as well on the evening.
I'm lost for words for just a second or two. I mean, it's quite a bit to take in. So you've got 15 garden centres, all with an evening of plants and a glass of fizz.
That's right, yeah. From 5 till 8:30. Just let's celebrate all these beautiful plants. I think it's something that Britain should be proud of, our horticultural heritage, really. And we should celebrate all the beautiful things that we can grow and the climate that, I mean, it's raining at the moment outside my office window. And
gentle
rain from heaven, yeah.
We certainly need it. Oh, it's so dry at home in Essex. Yeah, I was trying to plant a bit of bedding on Sunday. And I, you know, as soon as I dug a hole, I had to fill it with water and let that soak in about 3 or 4 times before I could even think about planting anything. Boy, do I need rain.
Yeah, no, we really, really need it. So aren't we lucky with all the wonderful things we can grow here?
I think it's amazing. And when I think back to, 1965 or thereabouts, when your dad opened the first centre at Twickenham, And I think of the quality of plants and the range that we offered then and what we offer now, it's a different world.
It really is. I mean, the sheer variety has grown exponentially, but as you say, the quality as well. And coming out of British nurseries, you know, it's really good. I don't think we shout about it enough as an industry, actually.
I'm sure we don't. And I was interested to see front page on The Times when President Trump was having the banquet at Buckingham Palace. There's a picture with the table absolutely full of sweet peas and roses. Boy, that must have smelt magnificent.
I think it outshone the Queen's tiara, really.
Oh, you noticed that too, then?
I did. It was the first thing I noticed when I saw the paper this morning. I thought, wow, that's beautiful.
Because in the Buckingham Palace garden, they have a really long flowering border. You know, when you see her come down the steps over on the right-hand side, and there's a whole series of tripod pea stick things with sweet peas growing up them. I'm not sure that the sweet peas came from there for the banquet. but the Queen certainly loves fragrant flowers and sweet peas, yeah. Sarah, it's been great speaking to you. I hope I can make at least one of the evenings. I'm not sure that I can make the Thursday, the 20th, miss my glass of Prosecco, but I do hope I can pop in and see the Rose Society UK show and those fabulous blooms that people stage.
We'll look forward to seeing you, Peter, and it's been lovely to speak to you this afternoon.
My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast, and thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.